You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Thursday. Welcome to this edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 Seconds. And this is my fourth episode of the week, actually. I am all over it, but Adam will be here tomorrow to talk about the Heat game. I am going to talk about last night's Sixers game, national TV. Pacers lose 94-100 to the Philadelphia 76ers. And there was a lot of things to be frustrated about, and there are a lot of not frustrating takeaways that kind of fell in line with what I mean, I'm not trying to do a victory lap. I want to rehash something, but kind of fell in line with something that I thought would be a problem before the game. So I'm going to just start with that. Philly is just a matchup nightmare for this Pacers team. They started off with, like, Thad on Embiid and the Sixers started off guarding with Embiid on Thad and then Miles being guarded by Dario Saric. And so that was interesting because I think the Pacers planned for it to not be that way. And they were planning on Thad being guarded by Saric, and Thad set a few screens on the first couple possessions that made me think that that was the game plan. But that wasn't the case, and it worked for the Sixers. They had a great first quarter. If you find the game recap that on NBA.com, they have the lead tracker, and it's crazy. The Sixers were up 15 in the first quarter at one point, yet the Pacers were in the lead in the second quarter. But yeah, they just came out of the gates and killed them with their matchup issues. And Bojan Bogdanović guarded Ben Simmons, which I do not agree with. I think Thad should guard Ben Simmons. Bojan, for what he is, like, Simmons isn't the worst matchup for him because Simmons is a lot of downhill speed, not lateral speed, and Bojan really struggles with guys who are lateral speed guys, but Simmons just cooked him a lot this game. Simmons finished with 16 points on only 12 shots, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, almost a triple-double, and he's a very good defender, and not having to exert a ton of effort on offense besides just one burst to get by his man surely didn't help. So the last minute and a half of, to say, this is just a matchup nightmare team for the Pacers, and Ben Simmons presents this for a lot of teams, but they don't have a guy with good size and positionality to put on him that doesn't create a mismatch somewhere else. You know, if they, like, Thad would have made the most sense to put on him, but now all of a sudden Saric is being guarded by a guard he's much taller than, and he doesn't have a ton of post game, but, I mean, having that size mismatch, probably Bogey would have had to guard him. Having that level of size mismatch is never something you want to go for. And then he could put Bogdanović in pick and rolls all game, and Bojan is not good at guarding the pick and roll, especially the roll man. So it was just tough, and you know, we knew that going in, and Nate had to find a way to strategize, and I do give him credit for actually mixing it up from last year because Thad guarded Simmons some last year. And I think that threw him off a little bit early on, but it wasn't enough in that particular group. The first quarter, Sixers really figured it out. And on the flip side, I think that Dario guarding Turner is a wash. Turner can probably post him up, but not super effectively, probably slightly above his average effectiveness, which is maybe a 55% shot, which is something you can go for, but not every possession. Thad being guarded by Embiid, advantage Sixers. Oladipo being guarded by either Covington or Simmons. It was Covington the whole game. He did a fantastic job, by the way. Robert Covington would be a great fit on the Pacers. Anyway, Robert Covington did a great job on Vic. You know, they just have the right guys to shut down everybody, which is such a problem for Indiana. I'm sorry, Simmons guarded Turner. I've been saying Dario this whole time, and I meant to say Simmons. Dario is guarding Bojan Bogdanović. That's so embarrassing. I just made it like 3 minutes in. Should I just start over? No, I'm not going to start over. Anyway. But yeah, they had the right personnel to play the great defense against the starting lineup. And Collison's low involvement overall, just in the scheme of things, catered well to Fultz being on him. And lo and behold, the starters for the Pacers were all negatives and plus minus. And the starters for Philly were all positives, except for Dario, who's a minus one. And then the bench was the opposite story, which if you listen to the game preview that I did with Jackson Frank, that's what we mused, that the bench would be the Pacers' key here. They have a lot more depth. Amir Johnson only played 5 minutes. He was not very helpful. J.J. Redick played 28 minutes, 0 for 7 from 3. So they did okay on him, which I thought was important. But he was still plus 9 because he still spaces the floor incredibly well when he's on the court just by running around. Like a chicken with his head cut off. Excuse me, I keep burping. I apologize for that. But Kojo did a pretty good job on him, preventing him from getting good looks from 3. And Kojo was a big part of the bench that was so good in this game. And he was probably the third best player behind Oladipo and Sabonis. I'll talk about individual performances after getting through the holistic parts of the game. But yeah, the bench was pretty good. They just have a good, like, gelling unit, if that makes sense. Like, I think Kojo's good at D, and Sabonis is pretty good at a lot of stuff on both ends, and Tyreek's a good offensive player and initiator, and McDermott can kind of space the floor. You know, that whole group just kind of gels really nicely. And Kyle O'Quinn got a little burn in this game, too. He, in theory, does not fit with Sabonis and didn't fit at all in this situation, but he's a good bench player. So, yeah, overall, though, I think it was really just the starters are a mismatch nightmare for the Pacers and outplayed them by a lot. It was really staggering to see how that went. I mean, Embiid just had his way a lot of times. Again, I'll do individual performances momentarily. Simmons the same way. But the starters as a whole just is such a mismatch problem for the Pacers that I don't see how they fix it without switching what they did today. That was not the right answer. But individual performances can explain why what they did wasn't the right answer. So after this break, I'll talk about some of those. So the first guy to talk about is Victor Oladipo, obviously. There's two sides to the coin here. If you just look straight up, not shooting percentage numbers, 36 points, 7 rebounds. I'm sorry. Gosh, I'm off right now. 36 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. That's very good. Only one turnover, 24 points at halftime. He was really electric in the first half and less electric, but still good in the second half. Finally broke the 30 barrier, which was awesome, but it took him 30 shots, which is not awesome. Chucked a lot of threes. This is a stat from James, IP Basketball on Twitter. He said 14 three-point attempts for Vic in this game. That's how many Turner has the whole season. And I'll get to Turner momentarily. But Vic was really good. He played good D as well. None of the guards really got a ton going for Philly. I would say the best guard for them. I guess Simmons technically, but it's just so hard for me to get over the hurdle of thinking of him as a guard. The best guard for them was Landry Shamet. So, really good game from Vic, and he did not get any help from any other starters. Turner really struggled in the first quarter. He tried to defend Embiid with finesse, which is impossible. That just doesn't work. Embiid is huge, and Embiid himself can use finesse, and really he can break out any of his bag of tricks. He's a very, very good basketball player. You have to get physical with him if you want to have any chance of stopping him. I know he's good at the line. He was 5 of 6 from there tonight. But, I mean, sometimes you just have to bump him, make him do something that he's not comfortable doing. And Turner did not do that at all in the first quarter on either end, offense or defense, even though he was guarded by Simmons. In the moments he had him beat on him, it wasn't anything good. And then second quarter, end of the second quarter, he had a really good run where he was initiating contact. He scored all 7 of his points, I want to say, in that run. That might be wrong. He scored at least a really nice dunk and another bucket in that run. And then was basically a non-factor in the second half. So not a good game for him at all outside of a 5-minute run, especially after an awful first quarter. Meanwhile, Sabonis did what you should do against Embiid. Contact on both ends. Dunked all over him. Easily the dunk of the year for Sabonis, even though he's already had 2 or 3 very memorable ones. Just because it was on Embiid made it great. And that'll be a poster. I retweeted it, put it in my game grades, all that fun stuff. Another double-double for him, 16 and 11. He was really good overall. Only one turnover, too, which he struggles with at times. So you got to like seeing that from Sabonis. He played with the starters a bit more because he was so good in this one. But him and Turner played a lot together, and that was actually pretty effective in this game, just given the personnel that they had. That let Turner play the 4 a little bit more. He was not on Embiid as much in those situations, and he was able to be effective in a more floor stretchy, not guarding Joel Embiid kind of role. Darren Collison was terrible, his worst game of the year. 0 points, 1 assist from your point guard is not what you want. He only played 18 minutes. Corey Joseph was much better. I picked these two between Turner and Collison. I picked those two first on purpose because their backup was much better than them. Joseph, 9 points, great defense, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 of 6 from the field, and made all of his 2-pointers, which is great. Plus 12, team high. Did a really, really good job on Redick. Just stayed on his hip the whole time. Fouled him twice, I believe, which is not good, but I mean, it's better than letting him get a 3. So I really enjoy, I just love watching Corey Joseph play. He was good in this game. Tyreek struggled from scoring standpoint, and he's going to be the focus of my ending segment. I'll get to the specific reason why in the third segment here. But not a shining game for him scoring the ball, but a pretty good D on guys like Shamet and Redick when he was matched up with him for a little. His ball handling was good in general, but 2 turnovers, only 2 assists. I know he's not like diamond guys up or anything like that, but you would like to see those figures skewed a little more. McDermott, 11 minutes, nothing. He's got to get the ball to do stuff, and he doesn't. 2 rebounds, that might be a season high for him. But yeah, he's got to get the ball to do stuff, and he's not. I have a fun clip for him for tomorrow, though, that I'll tweet out, where his floor spacing was incredibly effective, even though he didn't actually do anything on the possession. And Kylo Quinn got to play almost 2 minutes of play time. He shot twice, missed them both, got a rebound. Overall, pretty ineffective little minute and a half for the Pacers, but nice to see Kylo Quinn finally getting on the court in non-garbage time minutes. I know he did in one other game last week, but I didn't get to talk about it, so I was happy about that. The only other two guys left, Bojan, shot well from 3, did not play good D. Simmons is a tough matchup for him. That is what it is. I mean, I could have told you all that before the game, so standard stuff. Good shooting from him. Third highest score on the team. I mean, secondary option for the starters. He's more crucial than we make him out to be. And then Thad Young, old reliable. Not his best scoring game, only 6 points, but good D, really good D on pretty much everybody. He got very frustrated with the refs a few times, and rightfully so, in this game. That makes 2 games in a row where Thad got mad at the refs, and I rarely see him, you know, flare up and get angry. But he was just adequate Thad, not good Thad in this game. But, you know, I think the takeaway from that section should be Bogey played at best average, probably a little below. Thad played about that same level. Turner and Collison were bad. Tyreek was at average, maybe a little below. McDermott was probably below average. O'Quinn was bad. All that, and they only lost by 6, is not, you know, you can't be encouraged by a loss ever. That's the worst way of thinking about it. But you have to look at process too. I mean, process over results is the way I like to think. And a terrible process today almost got them a good result still, which is encouraging. Their defense, everybody played okay enough defense. So that is encouraging. They just had to have more than, I mean, even Corey Joseph stepped up more on D than O, but they had to have more than 3 guys really step up to play, and that just didn't happen in this game, and they couldn't dig themselves out of that huge fourth quarter lead, or fourth quarter, holy cow. Actually, they were down 17 in the fourth, so fourth quarter is technically accurate, but I was about to say the 15-point lead they gave up in the first quarter was just too much to dig out of. I mean, they played great from that point on, so tough. Tough loss, really tough loss, just given that, like, on nights where a lot of guys end up struggling at the same time, first of all, that's all related, but second of all, it just feels like one guy, one more guy stepping up and you win. So understandably frustrating game, which really downs the masses, but it is what it is. They move on to Miami next, and that'll be fine. I mean, I think Miami's a worthy opponent, but a different opponent that they need to shake up, and I think getting on the road might change their focus a little bit, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to switch it up to my Tyreek Evans segment now. That game was just odd to me. I don't know why. Like, that game just rubbed me wrong in a lot of ways. And most of the game, every game this year before that one, you know, you came out of it like, all right, you know, that is what it is. Like, nothing fluky happened. And that game I felt, like, just fluky and weird, and I don't know why. But who knows? I want to talk about Tyreek now, so let's take a break and talk about Tyreek Evans. So Tyreek has been what I expected, but not in the way I expected, which it sounds stupid as all hell to say. I thought his role would be a little bigger. I mean, it's only been 11 games, but he's a little bit below 20 minutes a game. I thought he would be about 25, 26. And his usage is lower than it was last year in Memphis, which is almost hard to believe given that he had point guard duties last year. But really, his stats aren't crazy bad. He's at, actually, you won't even believe this, but Tyreek's at his second highest ever career points per 36 minutes, just behind last year. So it might seem like he's not scoring that well, but that's just for lack of opportunity. His per minute contributions have actually been solidly in line with a lot of his career. His assists are his third lowest of his career. His rebounds are lower too, per minute. But, you know, a lot of it's lack of opportunity, a new system for him. And I think, you know, it'll help him too. He's scoring pretty well, and he's shooting far and away his worst free throw season. Once those come up, I think we'll be seeing a new Tyreek. But the big focus for me with Tyreek, and it became very apparent in this game that it's an issue. And this stat is great for me because it's before this game, so I think it's going to be even lower now. So Tyreek Evans gets to the rim a fair enough amount. He shoots over a third of his shots from 0 to 3 feet, and he finishes 52.8% at the rim. That is terrible. I mean, like, horrible. Joe Young was a little bit above that last season. And Joe Young is A, really short, and B, not a good finisher at all. Like, you cannot be a quality attacking guard and be finishing that low of numbers. And he's good at passing when he gets by the basket too, which is nice. But, I mean, whew, that just will not cut it. You cannot be finishing that poorly at the rim and succeed. It's just not going to cut it. So they have to figure something else out for him. Either A, he gets better finishing at the rim, which it would be great. I mean, in theory, that should be a good shot. You're right around the basket. Or B, he kicks out of more drives, which he's pretty good at creating opportunities for others. But I just feel like it's a really concerning trend for him to be shooting that poorly at the rim. And I think it'll get better. I'm not really sure when or how, but I think it will. But that is an atrocious number, and it's really holding him back from being more than that. But he's shooting really well from three, 44.1%. His mid-range has been solid enough. His long two has not. But I think his room for improvement finishing at the basket is worth investigating, and I will write about it because it's a concern. I mean, he's brought in to be this secondary scoring creator, and he can't finish right around the basket. Like, that's not good. And I don't really know if it's a ton of a spacing issue because Sabonis' screens are often what gets him to the rim. So you'd like to see some improvement from him there, and I'm sure it will come. Just it hasn't happened yet. So I was clicking on the wrong number, and I was struggling to get context, but I have it now. That 52.8% from 0 to 3 feet number for Tyreek is 11th on the Pacers, behind Corey Joseph, not a good rim finisher, behind Collison, who he's got 7 inches on, behind Vic, who's getting whacked every time he gets down into the basket. You know, he's just got to have a weight. And he's, 15% behind Vic, for context there. So he's really got to get that number up to improve his effectiveness. I think he's been pretty good on D in comparison to what I expected, but his offense has just been, I thought he was just like this. I thought he was better at the basket than he was, basically. I thought he'd get more points there than he does on the outside, but maybe water will find its level with him, and this will be a useless point. But that's all I wanted to talk about with him. Just I saw a few finishes at the rim go poorly for him, and I wanted to bring them up. But that's all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Adam will be talking Heat tomorrow. All You Can Heat Fun, my favorite fan-sided name blog for a team, is the Heat ones. All You Can Heat. It'll be a good game. I like quite a few players in the Heat, so be prepared for me to be oozing over Josh Richardson for a lot of that game. But yeah, take care, guys. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and I'll talk to you soon.